Sabbath, that's the one you left off with, right? And that Jesus taught us that it was good, lawful rather, to do good on the Sabbath. Let's move on. The disciples and the Sabbath. Now, Luke 23 says, and that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. That was Friday evening. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld how the sepulchre of the grave, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments. Now their Lord had just died. And nothing that Jesus had ever taught them, these are the women that followed him wherever he went, and nothing that Jesus had taught them over the past 3.5 years had led them to believe that it was legitimate to go on the Sabbath and anoint his body. One of the things that you will notice in the Bible is that Jesus healed the sick on Sabbath. One thing you will never find in the ministry of Jesus, he never raised anybody from the dead on Sabbath. Because Sabbath is not a day of creation. You'd have to wait to Sunday morning to do that. And when you consider, as some folks do, that, well, we teach Sunday because Jesus was raised from the dead on Sunday. Well, he had to be raised from the dead on Sunday because he died on Friday. And he wasn't going to get out of that grave on Sabbath. It was not a day of creation. So we should understand that Jesus rested in the grave on the Sabbath. Not even his disciples would come and anoint his body, knowing that he was God the Creator. They wouldn't do that even for him. He would not have them do that. But they came back Sunday mornings when it was a working day, a day of creation, to anoint his body. Paul and the Sabbath. Acts 17:2. At Thessalonica, the Bible says, and Paul, as his manner was, went into unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. His habit was to attend church on Sabbath, the synagogue. Paul in the Sabbath again, at Antioch. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, after Paul had spoken to them, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Nothing about Sunday there. Paul and the Sabbath at Philippi. And the Bible says, Acts 16:13, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now, a lot of us like to bring up a text about some collection of money on the first day of the week. And they're quite a few other little texts trying to substantiate Sundays, but they miss all the information in the book of Acts and the writings of Paul about how they met on Sabbath to divine worship. Paul again at Corinth. The Bible says that Paul met Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife, and it says, and because he was of the same craft, his occupation was the same as them, theirs. He abode with them and wrought, for by their profession they were tent makers. Paul was a tent maker. And from Sunday to Friday, he made tents. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And you come down to verse 11, and he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them every Sabbath. You would think after a year and a half that he would have told them, we don't have to come to church anymore on Sabbath, we can come now on Sunday. But no, every Sabbath he reasoned with them for a year and a half. Note that in the New Testament, the Jews never accused Paul of breaking the Sabbath. They accused Jesus, left and right. But you won't find anywhere where the Jews put up an argument against Paul about breaking the Sabbath. Now, they opposed Paul, as it says here. Some opposed Paul on the teaching of circumcision and the keeping of Jewish holy days, the annual Sabbath. But nowhere in the writings of the apostles is there a disagreement about the keeping of the seventh-day Sabbath. Even the Gentiles knew that the day of worship was Saturday or Sabbath. No question about it in the days of Paul. John had the Sabbath. Revelation 1:10. John says, and John is one of the last apostles to write around AD 96. And he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet talking with me. The Sabbath is here referred to as the Lord's day. And interpreting the Bible, there is no place in the Bible where you can apply Sunday to the Lord's day. Now, later on, about 150 years later, men began to apply the Lord's day to Sunday. But that's an error. The only day in the Bible that is said to be the Lord's day is Sabbath. Saturday. Jesus and the rich young ruler. I just want to show here what Jesus' attitude was about the law. And behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good things shall I do that I may inherit eternal life or go to heaven? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, that is go to heaven, keep the commandments, Jesus said. Amen.
Amen.
He said to him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Disarm it all up. Now, what does it say? The young man said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What do I lack now? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell that you have, and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Now, you'll notice that when Jesus reiterated those commandments to him, he reiterated to him, he stated to him, five of those six commandments related to me. He did not say anything about thou shalt not covet, because he wanted to bring this young man to the reality of his problem. And so he says, now you go and sell everything you've got if you really want to be perfect. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away out, sorrowful, for he had great possession. And Jesus says, verily, I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus upheld the law, and he taught the law. Jesus and the lawyer. Then one said to him, which was a lawyer, asked him the question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, Jesus said. And then Jesus said, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then how does Jesus sum it up? He says, on these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. Amen? In other words, those six commandments that are your duty to man, you must love your neighbor as yourself. That's all that those commandments mean. The first four commandments is how you show love to God. All right, there it is. Love to God, you've got four commandments. Love to man, you've got six. There is no other way to show your love to God except those four. Love is not some good feeling you've got about somebody.
Because the Bible teaches you have to love the enemy, doesn't it? Yeah. So you don't have a good feeling about your enemy, but you can't love him.
And those six commandments there show what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill, steal, commit adultery, and set your man false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And these here on my left side, the commandments relating to service to God. That's how you tell God that you love Him. What does Jesus say? If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Jesus always equated or made a connection between love and commandment keeping. There's no such thing as now we're under the new covenant, now all we got to do is love our fellow man. The Old Testament tells us that you must love your neighbor as yourself. And let me just talk about these laws. My brother Pat, he lumps the moral law in with the ceremonial law, and I will agree with you in one passage there that Paul seems to do that. But now in the Bible, you got these laws. You got the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments. You have the ceremonial law, which was written by Moses, and we need to understand that. The moral law was written by God, ceremonial law was written by Moses, and the civil law written by Moses, dietary and health laws written by Moses. Now, if we say that the law has been done away with, that it's been nailed to the cross, then we have to ask ourselves, but what about sin? The Bible says, whosoever commits sin does what? Transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So there's no way that the law could have been nailed to the cross, not the Ten Commandments. Because if you nail the Ten Commandments to the cross, then where is sin then? Do we still have sin in the world today?
Yes.
Then the law is still in place.
Amen.
Is it not?
Amen.
Come on, y'all got to agree with me.
Amen.
What does Romans 5:13 say? For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed or held against anybody when there is no law. People are sinning every day. They are killing and stealing, committing adultery. Are they not breaking the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Of course they are. Now look at this one. John 3:8. He that commits sin is of whom? For the devil did what? Sinned from the beginning. That means he was the first person in the whole universe to commit sin. For this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to put an end to sin. And sin is the breaking of the Ten Commandment law. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at this one. Which two laws did Jesus say the devil broke? Because now John says the devil sinned from the beginning. Amen? Now, Jesus tell us what the devil did. John 8:44. Jesus said he was a what?
Murderer
from the beginning. Beginning being before the Garden of Eden. The devil committed murder before the Garden of Eden. And Jesus says he is a liar and the father of it. So if he is the father of lies, it means that he is the first person ever to tell a lie. You want to know who did he murder? Well, he murdered God. And he lied against God. How did he murder God? He challenged God's authority. He lied on God. He competed with God for God's position. The Bible says he wanted to be like God. He wanted to exalt his throne above the stars of God. Sit in the mount of God. Jesus said, you don't have to take a knife or a gun and kill anybody, but you just hate them in your heart. And he hated God. I didn't say it. Jesus said he was a murderer. So that law which says thou shalt not kill was in force before we come to Mount Sinai. And you know that because Abel killed his brother. Was that a sin?
Yes.
So there had to be a law which says thou shalt not kill. Otherwise, what Cain did to Abel would not have been a sin. All right, let's go on. What was nailed to the cross? Now, my friend Pat, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now, whatever was nailed to the cross, the Bible says, was contrary to us. Now, the Ten Commandments is not contrary to us, is it? The Ten Commandment is designed to protect us.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
I don't want you stealing from me, killing me, lying against me. That's not contrary. That's for my protection. No society, no government on the earth today can exist without laws. I don't know any government on the face of the earth today, be it United States, Canada, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe, anywhere on the face of the globe, that do not have laws against murder, against theft. Amen? You know it's theft. Now, let's look here. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. And I'm going to jump down to verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. Now, one thing we do have to understand is that when Paul uses law, sometimes he means the moral law, sometimes he means the ceremonial law, sometimes he groups them together. But you have to, in your mind, make a separation of what he's talking about. Now, for example, a lot of people would read, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink. They'd think about what you eat. This is not what Paul is talking about. He's not talking about the law of the clean and the unclean. He's talking about the meat offering and the drink offering. That's what Paul is speaking about. Okay, and I don't have time to go too deep in that, but if you go to the Bible in the Old Testament, it talks about the meat offering and the drink offering. And Paul is saying, don't let anybody judge you, or of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day. Now, Sabbath days, not the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come. That's why we know it's not talking about the seventh day Sabbath. It says things which are a shadow of things to come. And so what Paul is referring to here is the ceremonial law, the offering of lambs and goats, the meat and the drink offering, the keeping of the ceremony of a yearly Sabbath. You know that from Leviticus 23, that the Passover was a Sabbath. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Trumpets, these were Sabbaths. And when Paul says, let no man judge you, he's not talking about the seventh-day Sabbath. He is simply speaking about these annual, yearly Sabbath that came once a year. And imagine if you were living in Paul's day and you were a Jew. Christ has died on the cross and you're told all of a sudden you don't have to keep the Passover anymore. You don't have to keep Pentecost. Now, that's tradition. That'd be hard for some people to break. And Paul is saying then, for those Christians who understand that they don't have to keep them, and the ones who feel that they ought to keep them, let no man judge them in these things. But those things were a shadow of things to come. The Bible says Christ is our Passover, does it not?
Yes.
Christ is our Passover. So we don't have to keep that Sabbath anymore.
One minute? Yes.
All right. And it says, God says you should keep these Sabbath days besides the Sabbath of the Lord. That is, besides the weekly Sabbath. These are the Sabbath that were nailed to the cross. The yearly and ceremonial Sabbath. And I just have them up there again, but there they are. Summary, Leviticus 23, 37. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. And then I just come down again where it says, keep those things beside the Sabbath of the Lord and beside your gifts, etc., etc., etc. All right. Thank you.